Well, what is left to say by now? I thought of a few things. First off, just to say thank you so much for last night. It was a beautiful, wonderful evening, and thanks to all of you who participated, who made that happen. Behind the scenes, out front, by your attendance, by your gifts, I opened one card last night from Ella. She handed it to me personally. She wanted me to have this personally, so I thought, I have to see what Ella had to say. And Ella, I will miss you. And you never know, I might show up at your door to play with you someday. Well, I believe preachers should not insert themselves into sermons. I've seen it happen, and perhaps it's happened when I've been preaching as well, but it's not something I try to make a practice. I once heard that preachers should be like an icon. In an iconography, an icon is meant to be seen through. That you see the image that's on the art, but that you see through it to the God that it represents. And preachers should be that. We should be as icons to which you see the light and love of God coming through. But today, let's throw that out the window. Let's make this about us. First off, I'm so grateful that God has blessed our pastor-congregation relationship for these short 16 years. I've been overly nostalgic these past weeks, and as you know, somewhat weepy, as you observed last Sunday morning. So understand the quiver in my voice, and when I get choked up, I know you'll bear with me. And as much as I want to do this, it is hard, but I've discovered in life that beautiful things are often hard. I think back over the years of the many things we've done together. I'm grateful for the privilege you've given me to serve in a variety of ways. Just as you've served me, I hope I've served you. In a few moments, we'll gather at the table here one last time as with me as your pastor. But we have come to understand this table as an open, loving, inclusive table for all ages, all people, regardless of who they are and where they come from. For Christ is calling us to eat and drink in love and unity as a church body. And today I celebrate the awesome privilege I've had of being your pastor. I do want to reflect a bit on my experience of being your pastor, but only as a kind of lens through which to celebrate a much bigger picture of what God and God's people are doing in the world. I believe worship should never be focused entirely on us, for God is our host and guest every time we gather for worship. As the focus statement says, I hope this can be a celebration of ministry in general, a thing enormously bigger than what any pastor can embody, because I'm convinced that God carries out ministry in the context of the church. Still, I'm well aware that the church is way too small to contain all that God is doing in this world. For God is at work and play in this world, lavishly, as the focus statement says, almost wastefully, giving gifts of ministry to people inside the church and outside the church. God is active, often through the church, but often in spite of the church. God does work through us pastors, but also works in spite of us pastors. That's something I've had to learn and sometimes be surprised to see God at work in various places, to see people gather in community and support each other who aren't part of the church. Our Mennonite theology insists that the church is Christ's body, not our church, and not certainly the pastor's church. I balk every time I hear a pastor say, "My church," not your church. The church can never be pastor-centered, though the pastor does have an important role and leadership function. The church is Holy Spirit-led, and the Spirit uses, as the text that Steve read for us, a great number of people in that leading. Here again, then, these words of Paul. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it's the same God who activates all of them, everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I'm forever grateful. I will carry it to my grave for God calling me to be your pastor and to inviting me to exercise my gifts and my small part in providing pastoral and spiritual leadership. I'm grateful to God for all of you, for each of you have been a gift to this church and to me. I want to name just a few of the ways in which you've been a particular gift to me. I'm sure you'll continue to be that blessing to your interim pastor, Samantha, and I'm confident you'll be that blessing to the next long-term pastor, as you have been to me. One of the greatest gifts you've given to me has been that you've allowed me to be me. You have not squeezed me into a pastoral mold, whatever that is. You've let me be Wayne. Most of you have called me Wayne. Some of you Pastor Wayne, and I like both. But first of all, I'm Wayne. You are my friends, and I've been fortunate to also be your pastor. One of the things I've been reflecting on for some months and have gotten some therapy over as I try to prepare emotionally for my retirement is asking myself, in the presence of James Mast, what is the core of my identity? How central is being pastor to who I am? What's going to happen on Tuesday when I no longer have that pastor title? I don't know. Frankly, I'm not sure. I guess we'll see. And we all have many roles. We sometimes call them hats that we wear. And we wear many hats, which are part of our identity. The pastor's hat has certainly been a very big one for me. And it's a hat I hope I've lovingly worn. And letting it go, taking it off and laying it down, hanging it up, whatever I do, will be a challenge. I know that. I can imagine I will be tempted in many places and situations to reach for it. That there's a pretty good woman who's pretty close to my side most of the time who will help me with that, even when I don't want help. I hope I have the grace to stop myself from again planting it on my head in any context related to PMC. As you've heard, the ministry team and I have worked out a covenant of understanding about the process of laying down my pastoral hat. And it can't and doesn't cover everything, but will be a helpful guide to us, I think. Someone asked me, so if we see you on the path, can we greet you? And I said, you better, I'll be offended. I think I can lay down the pastoral hat because other roles and hats are also a part of who I am, being a follower of Jesus, being a husband, a father, a grandfather, being a friend, being a member of this community, with its many opportunities for volunteerism. These all continue after I take off my pastor's hat. Never did you presume how I should wear that hat. And you are ready, I think, to offer that same gift to Samantha. I've told her that. I said, you will be in good hands in this congregation. And I know she believes me. Another enormous gift that you've given is that you've opened your lives to me in remarkable ways. You've welcomed me when I've called to invite myself over. Never did you say, no, sorry, please don't come. Maybe because it's not fit your schedule. That's okay. And you have taken initiative with me. Some of you have dropped into my office and sat and talked and laughed and shared very ordinary times that are sacred moments for me. You've opened your lives to me, sharing struggles and joys, challenges. You've been vulnerable, and those have been very intimate and sacred moments where God's Spirit is at work in a way that feels like holy ground. I cherish the gentle teasing, the hearty laughs, the shared life. I'm already grieving, giving up pastoral care. I think that of everything I do, I might miss it the most. Times of visiting you in hospitals and retirement communities, in facilities of all kinds, sporting events, classrooms, even workplaces. I'm confident you will continue to open your lives to each other and receive help and be of help to others. And I will miss being behind the pulpit. A wise preacher, pastor, denominational leader, and friend by the name of Jim Schrag once said that when he thought about preaching all those sermons and wondering if anyone ever remembered any of them, felt a kind of despair. And then he thought about it. He thought about it this way. He had spent many years at his mother's kitchen table, eating one delicious meal after another, but he could not remember a one individual meal. That helped Jim feel better about his preaching and how it might have been received by the congregation. And I hope that when I've served you a burnt or disgusting meal, that it's not resulted in too much long-term indigestion. And I'm so grateful that you've honored my integrity as a preacher. You've not told me what to preach, how to believe, what my theology should be, what radio preacher I should be like. I've had that, believe me. I have felt that I could always be honest with you, honest about how I interpret scriptures, even when my interpretation might not have been received in some other contexts. For example, concerning matters related to human sexuality. You've allowed me to be honest about how I see our context in the world in which we live, honest about what is going on in our lives and in my life. You've not tried to make me conform to what you think or what you think is right. You might have disagreed with me at times, and that's great, but you've never challenged my freedom to say what's on my heart. And I feel honored because you listen so carefully. Like, this congregation is the one in which I preached and I felt people being attentive. I see it in your faces, in your eyes. I don't get a lot of amens, but I don't need them. You're a listening congregation. And I've had other preachers who have preached here say the same thing about you. And in a world of Facebook and TikTok, where messages are 10 seconds long, It's remarkable that you sit 20 minutes or even longer listening to a sermon. It's unheard of. You're freaks. But it's a wonderful gift you continue to extend to any pastor, and in fact, every pastor who preaches here. You've nurtured Mary and me and welcomed the rest of our family, like Megan, who's here today, when they visited. And when I came here 16 years ago, as Steve's already reminded you, Mary was not by my side. She was on the pastoral team at Blooming Glen. And in fact, she's the reason, as you heard last night, why we're here in Pennsylvania. She told me a couple days ago, hey, I gave you a gift in bringing you to Pennsylvania. I said, yes, you did. And it was no small thing that I came here by myself, because I did have an interview with another congregation in the area, and I thought the interview went very well. But they discontinued talks when they realized that my wife would not be by my side. So thank you for accepting Mary. For accepting me. Sorry?
Already allowed that.
Yes, they had had that in a previous pastoral relationship, and they wanted a spouse. But thank you for accepting me, and thank you for accepting the times when Mary did show up here and welcoming her so graciously. I felt well nurtured here, emotionally and relationally and spiritually and intellectually. I think one of the huge temptations for us pastors is to think that we're the primary caregivers. I knew that was not the case here. We can, though, tempt ourselves into thinking that we are always giving, never receiving. We look to help meet others' needs and often forget our own. And the huge temptation is for a congregation to see themselves primarily as receivers of nurture, especially from the pastor, and thus becoming passive recipients. And so many pastors often dry up, wither up, burn out. In so many ways, in so many settings, you nurture each other and me too. As Ron mentioned last night, in meeting settings, we share what's going on in our lives, and often that takes a half an hour or more to do, and then we might get around to the agenda. We joke and laugh, and I like that, you know that. You've given me a sabbatical in which to give space to renew and rest. We have known deep friendships here. While that will change, it will not end. This is an alive place. I keep on being amazed at the gifts that are offered and shared here by so many people in such a small congregation. Public gifts like worship leading and preaching and music ministry, greeting, ushering, recording the services, making sure we can hear each other. You share administrative gifts and leading meetings, organizing projects, planning events. People-related gifts in forming relationships, in caring for each other. In this little congregation, three circles of support where people gather intentionally around those in special need and care. In touching people's lives and expressing love and acceptance and support. Behind the scenes, practical gifts in fixing things and cleaning things and making coffee and preparing food. Did something here and lost my place. I feel I can retire, not because I feel dried up and exhausted and depleted, but because it's the right time. And I look forward to other ministries that God may have in mind for me. Take to heart the gift of nurturing your leaders and keep nurturing each other. and I know you will. Another gift you've given to me is having a clear sense of who you are. I've pastored a church that couldn't get clear on its identity, and that was a challenge. And as I said a couple weeks ago, I love your simple mission statement to model Jesus. And I continue to be fascinated with this Jesus and this absolute radicalness for his time and for ours. We Christians, whenever we call ourselves Christian, differ enormously in how we understand Jesus. And there's many that I feel should really not be calling themselves Christian because they're not really little Christs. And how could it be otherwise, though, that we understand Jesus so differently? Because we will never fully know or understand him or the God of the Christ. And the Christian church over the centuries has done its best to tame down this Jesus, to domesticate Jesus, to make allies of him for our politics and often for our human wars. We are heirs of a movement, and I think the identity of being Anabaptist Mennonite is very central to us as a congregation. It's not an identity that one needs to be born into. I thank God for those of you who've come from other traditions. You've enriched this congregation by your perspective and continuing to hold some of those perspectives for us and changing us. We are cherished and enriched by those who come from Roman Catholic, from Unitarian Universalist, from non-denominational churches or something else, or nothing else. Your clear identity has been an immense gift to me, and I think a gift to the world and this community. Even when it's gotten you in good trouble, and it has a few times. And I celebrate the fact that God continues to invite people into the fellowship of God's church. I observe people finding their way here, back here, or here for the first time, and are lovingly, quietly assimilated into this body. It's beautiful. Granted, maybe not as many people as we like, maybe not the demographic of mother and father and 2.5 children, but each person a gift that comes through our doors. And finally, you've offered us your love. Always being here as your pastor has been more than a job, more than only tasks that need to be done, checklists that need to be checked off, duties that need to be filled, responsibilities that need to be carried out. It has been a place to live life in all its fullness, to grow, to fall, to fail, to feel safe, to make mistakes, to be challenged, to be supported, be encouraged, to struggle, and to follow God's mysterious invitation to be God's people. In the end, I've experienced this as a very loving place. Sure, I suppose there's been times when you've taken me for granted and I've taken you for granted. It happens in loving relationships. And I'm sure that there have been times when I've disappointed you and let you down. But I will retire from being your pastor feeling that this is a good time to retire, good for me, and I think good for you as a congregation, to welcome younger and more visionary leadership. But what we're doing, as Steve's already pointed out, isn't easy by any stretch of the imagination. We've loved well, we will grieve well. I celebrate the privilege of having been your pastor, and I celebrate what God has done among us and through us, and maybe in spite of us. I celebrate what God will still do in and through Perkasie Mennonite Church. Now, let's prepare to celebrate our relationship with Christ and each other as we come to the table. Just as human families gather to be nourished at a kitchen table, so this PMC family now comes to eat and drink the body and life flow of Christ. In this eating and drinking, there is healing. There is common union. Our tears mingle with the juice. There is joy in the miracle of the grain that is ground and the grapes that are crushed. New possibilities emerge. New life flows from apparent death. Alleluia. Let's celebrate our unity by turning to Voices Together 386 as Libby leads us in singing, One is the Body.